It's time for Without a Net, where I pull slips of paper I have not seen before out of a jar and relate whatever they say to this culture or the collapse of civilization. Technology is not neutral. That's one of the arguments that we hear all the time, is that pieces of technology are just neutral. But that's nonsense for a few reasons. One of them is that a piece of technology can be used for what it can be used for, and usually cannot be used for what it cannot be used for, such that if you have a gun, that is used to kill things. And one can argue about whether killing things is good or bad, under what circumstances, but you can't really argue that a gun does not really bake cake. And different pieces of technology have different uses, and they lead to discussions, or should lead to discussions, about whether the actions performed with those pieces of technology are beneficial to society, to the planet. For example, you could not have, people like to talk about computers as being very democratizing, and how we all, now everybody can publish their own blogs, and that's all great. But we also have to recognize that the modern global economy could not exist without computers. The major ports of, for example, Singapore, Hong Kong, could not exist without computers. The modern military could not exist without computers. And we always need to keep in mind, as Gerrymander said, that those in power are using computers much more effectively than we are at every moment. And never mind the fact that as soon as computers were built, as soon as the internet was built, pornography exploded with all the harms that that does. And Gail Dines has pointed out that not only has the technology been driving pornography, but in many cases, pornography has driven the technology, such that credit card payments were created in great measure to serve the pornographic industry, the pornography industry, and also small screen, what are they called, the iPads or whatever, I don't know what they're called, but the small screen devices that have a tiny screen, those were invented in great measure to serve the pornography industry, because many people in non-industrialized nations don't have individual rooms where they could go to look at pornography in private. So they need to create small screens such that someone could be sitting in a room and still be watching porn without their family knowing. And then there's the larger question I've talked about many times about democratic and authoritarian techniques. And we don't need to go into that now. Just let's point out that once you have certain technologies, that they actually end up running society, such that are cities made for human beings, or are they made for cars at this point? Who's in charge? They talk about the fossil fuel, burning of fossil fuel as causing global warming, which is one of the things killing the oceans. And yet when it comes to a choice between having living oceans and a fossil fuel economy, which are they choosing? Or think about this. I mean, it's just at every level, the technologies have become in charge. But the real winners of this culture are not even human beings. The real winners are the whole mechanized system. And one final thing to ask is, do you think that salmon would consider the concrete, the technology that makes concrete that goes into dams, would they consider that neutral? Do you think that forests would consider the technology that goes into a chainsaw neutral? I don't think so. Next one. Oh my God, I accidentally pulled four at a time. I am not going to try to do four at once. Biometric recognition. you know, they're using these biometric recognition at all sorts of places to see if they can catch miscreants or to verify who goes into a building. And this always makes me think of identity theft and how identity theft really becomes possible only when community has been lost. That I think about this a lot, that when I was a kid, when we would go into the lunchroom, if we not only didn't have ID tags, but if we would have had ID tags, the lunchroom monitors would not have had to look at them, because she knew who was Derek and who was Ronnie and who was Karen and who was Marie. And I understand that once you get beyond a certain point, you need this sort of, this makes me think of something that I just read the other day, which is we've heard about how people used to be branded if you committed certain crimes. Like if you were a burglar, they might brand B on your forehead. And I always thought that was just sadistic. And yes, it is sadistic. But I found out their logic behind it. The logic behind it was that back then there were no universal ID systems. So you could get some guy who was a burglar who is just annoying everybody in town and stealing from everybody in town. All he has to do is go to the next village over where nobody knows him. He can start over. But if you catch somebody burgling and you put a big B on their forehead and then they move to the next town, everybody in Scotland or wherever knew what the B stood for. And so when a guy goes to a new town, so I'm not saying it's okay. I'm saying that that's just an example of how once your community gets beyond a certain size, you have to have some sort of identification system that supersedes some sort of identification system that makes up for the lack of community. And so I would say that this sort of biometric recognition is really an inevitable effect of living in such huge numbers that it's impossible to recognize people as individuals anymore. I don't want to say one more thing about this. It's just sort of along the same lines, but very interesting to me, is that the reason they came up with time zones is and a standardized time is because of railroads. Prior to railroads, every community would have its own clock, like church clock or whatever. And it didn't matter if Crescent City's clock was different than the clock in Smith River, which is 10 miles north, because by the time you got there, 5 minutes off is not going to matter. And especially, it doesn't matter if Denver and Laramie have different time setups because it's going to take you a day to get in between. But as soon as they had the railroad and suddenly they needed schedules, then they had to standardize time across the place and then they had to standardize time zones. So this is just an example again of sort of technology of larger than community areas requiring other forms of identification, including time. We'll do one more real fast. I'll make this one real short. Interesting. These are all about technology. Smoke and mirrors of high technology. You know, one of the things I think about a lot, okay, I've just been writing the last couple of days about how horse poop was a real problem in the 19th century in many cities. And the stench was intolerable and there was just horse poop everywhere. And there were predictions that in the 1890s, they were saying that by 1950, the horse poop would be so deep in Manhattan, it would be up to the third floor windows. And we could make cheap and easy jokes about, Wall Street and a bunch of horse shit, but I'll leave those to your imagination. But what happened, what solved this? First, they said trains were going to solve it, but trains did not solve it. And the reason trains didn't solve it is because they allowed for increased commerce, which meant you needed more horses to haul it from the train depot off to the general store. So you actually had more horses then. What solved it was automobiles. And the automobiles solved the horse poop problem by making it so by 1910 or 1915, there were more automobiles in cities than there were horses. And the at the time, automobiles were declared an environmental rescuer because they solved the problem of mass horse poop. But the problem is that now, and also, and at that point in the 1890s, an area the size of West Virginia was necessary all to be devoted to feeding horses. So that problem was solved too, because now there's fewer horses. The problem is, instead of having an area the size of West Virginia devoted to feeding horses, you now have an area the size of the world devoted to feeding the automobiles. And instead of poop-filled streets, you have carbon-filled atmosphere. And this is what high technology does. It doesn't solve the problems, it masks them, and it transforms them into actually larger and more harmful problems.